All right, so apparently every one of our kids was great this week, so I have to talk really fast. Merry Christmas. I'm glad that you are here today. And if anyone asks, or you need to understand better why, we read from Hebrews chapter 10, why the birth? Why the birth story? Why does it matter? Because we all know that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and that is what we focus on Christians. But why is the birth important? And I want you to take a look at Hebrews chapter 10 real quick. Hebrews chapter 10 gives us the answer. If anyone ever asks, or you just are confused and you're just not sure, why the birth? Why is the birth story important? Why is it a major part of the canon? Why is it included in the Gospels? Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, it's speaking about the sacrifices that are made under the law and saying those sacrifices were offered every year, and they weren't cleansing the offerers because they had to keep on being made. They actually reminded of sins. And verse 4 it says, "For it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." Consequently, in verse 5, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me." Now, interestingly enough, Jesus is quoting from Psalm 40. This is a psalm of David, but Jesus, he changes it a little bit, because when David first wrote the song, he said, "Look, God, I know you're not interested in me killing all these animals. That's not the real point. What you want from me is an ear that will listen so that I can obey your word." Now think back to Hebrews chapter 10, what did Jesus just do? He said, "Father, you have provided me a body." That is Emmanuel, God with us, incarnate. Jesus come in the flesh. Jesus says, "Father, you have provided for me a body to be born in this world just like everyone else, so it is possible for me to be obedient to you." That's the power of the birth story. That is the most amazing thing out of everything, that Jesus says, "You gave me a body so that I could be humbled and serve you by giving my body to you in sacrifice." Praise God that he loved us so much that he did give us his son, and that Jesus was willing to take on, to put on this form, so that you and I in our faith and hope can one day put on his form. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we are so very grateful that you gave Jesus a body. We are so very grateful that you gave him a form so that he could be obedient to you all the way to the cross. And so, Father, we celebrate his birth, his life, his death, and his resurrection. Father, we thank you for making us yours. And just as David and just as Jesus, we together today proclaim, we know that you are not interested in sacrifices, but you want us. You want us completely. You want us fully. You want us to listen. And you want us to obey with our entire lives. Father, you've given us all good things, and that's all we want as well. Forgive our sins. Increase our faith. And may we walk in those beautiful, painful steps of Jesus all the way to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn over to Luke chapter 2. Hebrews 10 gives you the theology. Luke chapter 2 gives you the story. Gives you the story. I love Luke's version of the birth story. And the first thing, Robert started reading for us in chapter 8, but I want us to see in those first seven chapters, the birth of Jesus Christ. And I love this because Luke's gospel describes the birth of Jesus. Jesus coming into the world, into the flesh, under inconvenient circumstances. All right? Caesar has said, all right, we're going to have a census. That means he needs to count everybody in the world. I need to see who is in my land, who is in my kingdom. Now, this is not like a convenient census that we get every 10 years where they mail you the big packet in the mail and you fill out the questions and you send it back in and they figure out, where are people living? What are people learning? What color are people? What jobs do people have? And all this information that they get about us. The census back then was everybody had to go back to their hometown. Now, Joseph has got to get his young bride-to-be, who is just about ready to pop. And if you have ever been a mother or married to a mother or anywhere near a mother when they are just about ready to pop, those are fun times. And Joseph tells Mary, we got to go on a trip. You know how the doctor tells you not to fly in the third trimester, not to go anywhere too far from the hospital, when you got days before the baby comes? That's when Joseph says, we got to go to Bethlehem. I'm pretty sure that was an awkward journey. I'm just guessing. But I bet that was an inconvenient journey, right? Yeah, but God had to get Mary to Bethlehem because in Micah chapter 5, that's where Jesus was going to be born. So God had to pull them away from home, put them in an uncomfortable situation, and get them over here to fulfill His word and His will. So lesson number one from Luke chapter 2, when God is pulling you out of comfort and He's putting you in a difficult situation, pay attention and obey. Pay attention and obey because He is bringing you to exactly where He needs you. And that's what's going on in Luke chapter 2. So they get there. They get there and they're going back to their hometown. Now, just imagine, everyone's going to their hometown, so you've got a lot of people probably staying with family members, and you got, the rooms, the guest rooms. Scripture tells us, the English translation says there were no rooms at the inn, right? It was a guest room, so it could be a room rented out. There were just no extra bedrooms to be rented out. And so, Mary's water breaks, and Jesus is coming, right? And so they're having the baby, and then I love this because God's messengers in Luke's gospel, the baby comes, the rooms are all full, and God sends His messenger to shepherds, and they're out there, and it's at night, and it's late, and they're watching over the sheep, and you're just sitting there around the campfire, and you're probably you've broken out the food that you had prepared, and you're just listening to the sounds of the sheep. You're familiar with the bleats and the cries, and if it sounds a certain way, that danger's coming, and you're just settling in, getting comfortable, telling some stories around the campfire with the other shepherds, and a messenger from God shows up. A messenger from God shows up, right? Now, this is not an accident. This is on purpose, church. And we, all these years later, need to keep our eyes and our ears open. Because so many times God says, hey, I'm going to use something, an inconvenient situation, to get your attention. And He does. And to fulfill my purposes. So trust me. And just as Mary has trusted Him from all the way from the news of, hey, you're going to have a baby, to now traveling when she's about to have that baby, and now she's had that baby, and the messenger, the angel, shows up to the shepherds and says, hey guys, I got some great news I got to tell you about. Okay. We're listening. This is good news for all people. for all people. From the very beginning, Luke points out that God is doing something amazing for all people. For all people. And so he says in verse 10, don't be afraid, for I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born today in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So here's the good news. A Savior has been born, and here's the sign. You're going to find the baby swaddled and lying in a manger. So when you find that, you will know that my word is true. And then, suddenly, in verse 13, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So the one angel comes to these shepherds and says, all right, guys, I got some great news for you. God has done an amazing thing. And here's how you know that what I'm saying is true. Over in Bethlehem, here's what's happened. And then once they receive the good news, just a bunch of angels show up. And I can picture, and I don't know about you, but I picture that they're just on pins and needles. They're on pins and needles. We saw in our study this morning how heaven is just watching everything that's going on down here. Why? Because God is doing it. And church, if you are not living every day on pins and needles, on the edge of your seat, looking for what God is doing, I promise you, you're missing it. You are missing it. They know. They know. They are just living their lives like this. And the one messenger says, here's the good news that God has given us. They can't even take it. They just break through. They all show up and go, hallelujah. What? Hallelujah! I mean, we tried this morning. But I can picture that that's what happens. All the angels are so excited by what God is doing that they got to break through, and they give these shepherds a whole show. They put on a concert right there in the field, right there in the middle of nowhere. And they sing, and they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And you and I read that. Maybe we don't read it very well. Maybe our eyes are not in tune with what God's trying to say. And we see things like the birth of Jesus, and God is offering peace and goodwill, peace among men, right? And we read that and go, oh no, there's wars and rumors of wars, so guess it failed. Uh-uh. Wrong. Wrong. That is not what God is doing. God was not saying, hey, here's the arrival of Jesus, so you're no longer going to have any earthly conflict. That is not what he's saying. That is not what he's saying. What he is saying is that today a Savior, the Christ, has been born. And so it is now possible for all of creation to be reunited with their Creator. That is what has happened. And the angels can't help themselves. They got to bust right through and say, this is awesome! Right? It is. It is good news. God has said, I'm not going to leave them in their mess any longer. And church, you and I meet a lot of people still living in their mess, don't we? Yeah. You and I meet a lot of people still living in their mess, and shame on us because we don't speak up and said, hey, I know a way out of this mess. I know a solution to all your problems. Church, you know the solution to all of our problems. That should do two things. Number one, it should put a smile on our face because we have the solution. And number two, we need to be sharing the good news of the solution, of God's solution. He has provided a Savior. So, well, you see this heavenly show, and the shepherds are like, well, I guess we should go check it out. Right? Okay. All right, so they do. They go to Bethlehem. They say in verse 15, well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that's happened. The Lord's made it known to us, and they found Mary, they found Joseph, they find the baby lying in the manger, and when they saw it, they made known the saying, in verse 17, what had been told them. And when all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them, but Mary treasured these things, pondering them in her heart. Verse 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen as it had been told them. It's just like that angel said. God has provided exactly what he said. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 4. In Luke chapter 4, Jesus is going to begin, because we kind of fly ahead in a chapter and a half. He has a few little things happening with his teenage years, but we see Luke's gospel takes us very quickly to the beginning of Jesus' ministry. He's been baptized, he has faced off with Satan, and now he is beginning his public ministry. All right, he's starting it. He is going to do exactly what the angels have done. He's going to let the world know that God has acted on our behalf. He has brought peace and goodwill to those who believe. And so it says in Luke chapter 4, starting in verse 14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went throughout all the surrounding country, and he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. So Jesus begins, and he is going around to all of their church services, and he's teaching them everything about what God's done. He says, hey, you really need to know what God has done for you. God has provided a Savior. God is restoring you to himself. You tried all these things, and it just doesn't fix the problem, because we're still sitting here in our sin, and we're still sitting here in our shame. But God has done an amazing thing for us. And in verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, as was his custom. He went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll. He found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke well of him and marveled at the gracious words that were coming from his mouth. And they said, "Is this not Joseph's son?" Now, this is the way to start a ministry, okay? He's going from town to town, from synagogue to synagogue, and he is saying, God is doing great things, and it's right here, right now. And everyone's just like, yeah, love it. I love it when God is doing great things, right? Yes. Yeah, praise God. We have a hard time sharing when God's doing great things, right? Yeah. I don't want to rub it in. God is good, but I've already talked to some people at church this morning. We got prayer requests, and we got pain, and we got suffering, and we got heartache, and we got... I just want to tell how good God is, but we're not as good as the angels, are we? No, we're not sitting on pins and needles. Or maybe we showed up with pins and needles, right? Did you show up with pins and needles this morning? I did. I showed up on pins and needles. What's God going to do today? What's God going to do? All right? And Jesus is going to all these synagogues, and he's saying, this is what God is going to do. And everyone's just getting excited. And they're loving it. And they're loving it. And he bears witness to what God is doing. And, oh. Okay. Has anyone had anyone, and maybe someone has a goal for lunch today, I don't know. But you know that person in the family that they make it their mission to make every family gathering uncomfortable in some way? Right? I mean, you're either sitting here going, oh, we're already anticipating it. Or you're sitting there going, you're already waiting for it. Yeah, I got this. So maybe you're the disruptor, I don't know. Maybe you're the one that says, ha, 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 I got this. Or maybe you're the one going, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to sit them with them, and we're going to try to keep the talk away from this. And we're sometimes somebody in the family just can't leave well enough alone, right? They got to do it. They just got to drop that bomb. And, you know, Jesus is just sitting here. He's going everywhere, and he could have just gone, ha, ha, they're digging it. It's all good. It's all good news. And he doesn't. He doesn't. He doesn't leave well enough alone. You know what he does? He's got to go and just say, oh yeah, this amazing gift that God has given you,
it's for everybody.
What? Yeah, that's his sin in their eyes. Oh yeah, this good news, it's for everybody. Well, that's what? That's, no, us, right? Hey, did anyone get to open any presents yet? Anybody get to unwrap anything? Good, a few hands. Anyone looking forward to opening presents this afternoon? All right, a few more hands. It'd kind of be like if you had that present and it's got your name on it and it's the big one. You know the big one? Like we wait last to open. It's that big present and we're just, oh, okay, yeah, new underwear, new socks. Yeah, I want the big one. And you're just super excited, and you get there, it's got your name on it, and they hand it to you, and ah! All right, now that's for you and your sister, okay? What? What? It had my name on it. That's my gift. That's my present. Yeah, but that's for you and your brother. You're going to share. I don't want it. What am I saying? I do want it. But are you serious? I got to share? They got their own present. Yeah, but we're going to share presents this year. Oh. Yeah, that's what Jesus does in the next verse. Okay, just so we're all on the same page. Look at verse 23. And he said to them, doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, physician, heal yourself. What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his hometown. But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah when the heavens were shut up 3 years and 6 months, and a great famine came over all the land. And Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And there were many lepers in Israel at the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. When they heard these things, all the synagogue were filled with wrath. And they rose up and they drove him out of the town. They brought him to the brow of the hill on which their town was built so that they can throw him off the cliff. But passing through their midst, he went away. Jesus has everybody looking at him, has everybody loving him, and they're like, yes! Our guy. That's God's guy. And he's our guy. And he's just for us. And Jesus just can't help himself. And he says, you know, surely you guys are going to want me to do some of the cool things you've been hearing I've been doing in other places. And then he tells the story of Israel's history. And he points out the times in which God did amazing things for not his people. Jesus tells the story that, look, yes, you are God's people, but God has always cared about all people. And there's the proof. So what's happening here? This is not a local thing. Church, what's happening here this morning? It's amazing, but it's not enough. Because Jesus is not a local thing. Jesus is not our thing. Jesus is not Brazil's thing. Jesus is God's gift to the world. That's the good news. That's the good news. It doesn't stop with us. It doesn't finish with us. We get to be a part of it, and then we share it with others. Because church, I mean, I don't know, that bicycle you got to share with your sister, waiting for that next ride, that wouldn't be fun. But with Jesus, there's enough to go around. There's enough to go around. Let's turn over and we'll close it out in Hebrews 4. Everybody ready? Hebrews 4? You got it? Okay, let's get there. Hebrews 4. The invitation song could come at any moment. Get ready. You ready? All right. Hallie, you ready? You ready to stand and sing? No? Okay. Well, we'll sit down for just a little bit longer. Hebrews chapter 4. So Jesus himself witnesses that God has brought a Savior into the world for everybody. And in Hebrews chapter 4, let's go down to verse 14. This is going to help us understand this. Hebrews 4:14 says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. For every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sin. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.' As he says also in another place, 'You are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.'" Verse 7, "In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and with tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made complete, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek." Jesus is our high priest, and God gave him flesh and allowed him to be born so that he could understand what it's like to be us. But God gave him eternal life, and so he is a high priest after the order of Melchizedek, who Scripture tells us we don't know the beginning or the ending. He came and he blessed Abraham. And Jesus is like that. No beginning, no ending. And he, being greater than us, provides all the blessings that we need. And if Jesus is going to be our high priest, if he is going to be what stands between us and the Almighty God, because of his sacrifice for us, because a body was prepared and given him in the flesh so that he could die on the cross to pay the penalty and the price of death that all of our sins deserve. Since we have come to know and to believe and put our faith in Jesus Christ as God's only Son, we can now, every single one of us, draw near to God with confidence. It is not fear. It is not groveling. We repent. We turn away from our sins. We say, "I don't want that anymore." We confess our belief in Jesus. "I'm going to trust him and I'm going to live and walk a new way in his steps, in his light." We do that and we don't have anything else to fear. We have been brought together in peace with our Creator. We draw near with confidence and we obey him for salvation. Church, God has given us the good news of Jesus Christ. It's good news for you. Good news for me, and it's good news for the whole world. Live it, enjoy it, love it, and every once in a while just jump out and say, "I can't take it anymore. God is good. I got to let you know about it. Be just like those angels. Oh, can't even take it. You would not believe the good stuff happening over here. Oh. It's exciting enough to share. And this morning, it's exciting enough to respond to. If you need to react to the good news of Jesus Christ, if you need to repent from your sins and you need to confess Jesus as God's only Son, if you need to take Him on in baptism, turn your life around and say, you know what, God? I believe it. And so I'm going to obey You because You are the author of life and You are the only one that knows what a good life looks like. So I'm going to trust You. If you need to trust Him for salvation, today is your day. If you are ready to get home in open presence, today is your day. Yeah, I know. I got like a third of the audience are just like, stand up already. Oh, what child is this? See, I was hoping it would stand up and shout it, but all right, we'll do that.